Canva.
6 years ago, Nick and I were designing the pitch deck for our media company.
Yeah, we didn't want it to look like some amateur college PowerPoint. We wanted to impress investors. So we made our first pitch deck on Canva.
Canva is the easy-to-use online design platform for presentations, social media posts, physical flyers, anything you can design.
Canva turns you into a digital Da Vinci, delighting your audience with design.
They got these color palettes that you can use. It makes your work look beautiful.
We used presentation templates that were available for free and then customized them for our company.
And guess what? That summer, we sold that company, Market Snacks, thanks to the deck we built with Canva.
Oh, and funny thing, we still use Canva today for all our design projects.
So Yetis, start designing today at canva.com.
Canva, designed for work.
This episode is sponsored by Audible, the home of storytelling.
Protect her.
That's from the opening chapter of The Last Thing He Told Me.
Or is it protect her?
It's protect her.
Yeah, it's like that.
It's a thrilling mystery my wife and I listened to on Audible.
It actually got adapted into a TV show, but it was way more riveting as an audiobook, wasn't it, man?
It's about a tech executive who disappears when his company gets indicted on accounting fraud.
But he disappeared to protect her. And honestly, we shouldn't say anymore. Let's stop there.
Listen to the whole audiobook on Audible while driving in the car on road trips.
And you should too. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog.
New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/tboy or text tboy to 500-500.
That's audible.com/tboy or text tboy to 500-500. Airbnb.
It's wedding season.
Yes, it is. What's going on, baby?
Alex and I just got invited to a beautiful venue for the wedding of a childhood buddy of mine.
Lovely. Can't wait to hear about
it. We got babysitters. We're all set to go.
And the first thing that you did, Jack?
Book a hotel for the wedding.
Okay, second thing that you did?
List my place as available that weekend on Airbnb.
Millions of people host on Airbnb, but millions more have never even thought about hosting.
Here's the thing. We've said it's great to make money while you sleep. Actually, Warren Buffett said that.
Well, when you're an Airbnb host, you make money while you sleep and while someone else sleeps.
That's why anytime I'm traveling, I immediately jump into Airbnb and set my house as available. It's that easy.
So Yetis, your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. This is Nick.
This is Jack.
It's another day over our vacation, and today's bonus pod is the best one yet.
It's a T-boy.
Yetis, back in May, Jack and I got to be interviewed by Colin Daniels of Adweek magazine.
The magazine's podcast is called Young Influentials, and it was a great episode.
So Jack and I pinged Colin, and we said, hey, could we share your interview here on our feed with the Yetis for you?
And he said yes. So in this interview, we jump in T-boy style to the best one yet.
Because in this interview, Adweek jumped in T-boy style to us.
So if you want to get to know our story better, this episode begins 16 years ago.
Back when we met in a freshman year dorm room.
Then we tell you how we spun out this podcast from Robinhood Snacks and rebranded as T-boy.
And how we create this podcast every single day.
We'll also tell you why we launched a newsletter this year.
But also why we plan to host this pod for another 40 years together.
Indeed.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And today's bonus pod is the best one yet.
15 years before this song, two boys from the Northeast met in the dorm. They had an idea that caused a cultural storm. It's the best one yet, but the best is the norm. Jack, Nick, that's it. I don't even think they need to practice. 50%, that's a fat tip. T-Boy City on your at list. If you know, you know, cause we ready to go. We can't wait no more, so just start the show. Start the show.
Nick and Jack, welcome. How are you guys?
Great. Fantastic to be here, Colin. Thanks for having us.
Boom. It's about to be a party. But before we get into all the cool stuff, we always start with the question, what the term young influential means to you.
The term young influential to us means that you have influence with a person because you've gained their trust. And That's great because Nick and I have put on a daily episode of the Best One Yet podcast for nearly 1,000 episodes now. We go way back in the podcasting game to 2018 was the day we launched our first episode. Actually, almost exactly 5 years ago.
Almost exactly, like right around this time, Jack.
We think to win trust, it's all about consistency. And Nick and I are wildly consistent when it comes to jumping on the mics and recording an episode about the day's news. So we're just proud that like so many people have decided to trust us and listen to us every day for their scoop on the morning's news and to feel brighter with Nick and me chatting it up like we did in college when we met freshman year.
Jack, nailed it with the trust point. That is absolutely it. It all comes down to trust that you gain through consistency. And one way that we see this, one way we see young influentials is with Jack and I like to say, and this is a takeaway we've done on the pod. Tech companies have users. It's very functional. Most companies have customers, which is very transactional. But young influentials tend to have fans. And we really think of fans as the sign that someone is able to be influential. And we're fortunate that we have fans on our podcast. And it's a sign that someone loves and wants to share what you're doing.
And spoiler alert, everybody, I'm living the dream because I've been a fan since day one. So this is just like unreal. So everybody let that sink in.
Colin is a legendary longtime Yeti, as we like to say.
Oh my gosh, yes. But take us back to childhood, Nick and Jack. Were you guys like always into podcasting or audio or storytelling? Like, where did kind of the genesis into this realm kind of like get that stem from?
Man, we became podcasters by accident. We were given an opportunity and we took it. And podcasting was not on our roadmap. But in 2018, when we got an invitation to come audition for a podcast, we took the invitation. Nick and I kind of looked at each other and we said, sure, like, we'll try it out.
All right, why not?
And we flew into New York City to audition. And we spoke into microphones for an hour together. It was a very rough episode.
It was not what it looks like or sounds like today.
But the person on the other side who was judging us decided we have some chemistry and we have personality and gave us the offer for a pilot season of a podcast, but on one condition, that you do it daily. And we looked at each other, we're like, no way we can do this daily.
That is rough.
But we ultimately spent the whole summer committed fully to this podcast because we believed that we had an opportunity to fill a void in daily business news. And so we did it. And it wasn't just 90 episodes.
One of the reasons we got the podcast is because we had been storytelling for a few years. Like Jack and I, we actually right after school worked in finance, both of us, and then realized it wasn't exactly what we were hoping for in a career, that there were great elements to the finance and the business industry, but we felt like there was something missing. When you're working as an analyst, there isn't much storytelling you're doing with spreadsheets. So Jack and I started a side hustle where we started storytelling business news to our newsletter base. And we built out a newsletter business called Market Snacks. And that's what eventually led to the podcast.
It's funny. We're kind of going in reverse chronological order here.
Yeah, we are.
Which I'm all for.
Which is a form of storytelling, Jack.
So freshman year, Nick and I were randomly placed as roommates together. And like, we didn't know each other. We'd connected on Facebook just weeks prior to moving in together. But we bonded over a mutual love of Seinfeld. So there's some storytelling that we love together.
Totally.
Nick's born and raised in New York City, like on Manhattan Island. I'm born and raised in rural Vermont.
Ooh.
So, yeah. But we found this like common love of Seinfeld, which was hilarious. And
yeah,
we did. We hit it off. But the first audio I listened to was the show called Car Talk on like public radio in Boston. It's those two Italian brothers who are mechanics. And they get callers who call in and say like, my carburetor's not working. Or like, my engine's got a funny sound. Or why does that check engine like constantly come back on? Should I worry about it? And these two brothers who worked in a garage for a long time together, they just have so much fun like hilariously responding to these people. They love to laugh. And when Nick and I, you know, saw that podcasting was working for us, we eventually decided to stop doing the daily email newsletter that Nick referred to. And we're like, could this be a career, like podcasting? And the answer is absolutely. And we looked at that radio show. Those guys, they put on a show for like until they were 70 years old. They had that show going for decades. And we look at that, we're like, that's a model. They were obviously radio. Podcasting is radio, but better and more convenient and on demand. We're going to do what they did. We're going to keep doing the show until we're 70 years old and we finally hang up the mics.
And I feel like you guys brought up a good point too. Like when you guys were saying like the like child inspiration, like Car Talk and all those, like I feel like one of the first ones that got me into was like Delilah. Do you guys remember her? Delilah on the radio?
Yeah. Delilah. Delilah.
and I still call in.
And I used to
Saturday nights.
And I used to love how people would be like, "Hey, Delilah, my goat ran away again, and I just want to know." And I just felt like how she could.
Here's a song for your goat.
Literally, she would. She would just the art of conversation, like you guys said, taking like business news, but it's not really like digestible. It's like kind of being able to like talk to people, meet them where they are, and really. Yeah. Bring whatever to life and being able to explain what's going on to like wider people around them, which I think is so cool in itself.
And Colin, that's exactly the idea we try to capture in our brand, like the logo, the image, the look, just the name, the best one yet. The reason the show is called that is because like Jack said, every pod we do, we think was the best one yet. The next one is going to be the best one yet. And what we realized is that, yes, we are talking about business news. That is the topic. But really what resonates with people is the feeling, is that T-boy, the best one yet feeling. And that's what storytelling can do. That's what Delilah did. That's what the car talk guys did. It was never really about the carburetor. That was the interesting information you got. What it was getting an insight into their fraternal fun and their friendship and their relationship and the chemistry. And that's what comes across in great storytelling.
I absolutely love audio because with video, everything is, you know, YouTube and a social media app. And there's so much demand for our attention. There's just a constant demand for action and the next thing. Audio, on the other hand, is the perfect multitasking medium. And it has been for 100 years. And that's why we're so bullish on podcasting. Because I think there's always going to be a demand to get your news and have a companion in your ears while you're doing other things.
And we've seen it in the level of engagement. Like Jack and I have played in the newsletter game, we've played in the video game, and we've done pure audio. And what we found is that there's just this intimacy that comes with audio, that you're hanging out with someone, that there's a relationship you get that Jack and I get to have with these listeners that you can't get in the same way with print, and you can't totally get with video when it's so literal. There's just something more intimate that leads to a deeper long-term connection with audio. And we've just had a lot of fun with that.
No, that's so true, because I'm one of those that I'll be like cooking or whatever, or like doing laundry, and I'll put on like, I don't know, like the Daily from NPR, from New York Times or something else. And I'll just be doing a chore, and it's like, wow, I feel like they're right here with me, you know, helping me like defrost this chicken for Taco Tuesday.
Hey, Michael Barbaro, what do you want? All
right. I'm like, oh guys, he likes sour cream on his tacos. Like, don't worry about it.
When Nick was talking about intimacy, I thought he was going to go full ASMR on us.
I should have dropped an octave lower, Jack. Like, this is what Jack and I love about podcasts.
But you guys just brought up a good point. Like with newsletters, I feel like with everybody listening, I feel like the big question is like, oh, are newsletters still worth it? Like, how do we grow our email list? And so like just going back to the newsletter element, how did you guys kind of synthesize it? Because like we said, for our attention, everybody's fighting for attention. And newsletters, I feel like, are something that it'll either people will click on it or won't. And it's kind of like an like endless equation of what's too much to put in there, what's enough, what's too little.
Mm-hmm. Well, Jack and I have focused this part of our careers on audio and podcasting, like we told you. But we started out in the newsletter game, and we're still definitely bullish on newsletters. And there are a few reasons for that. First of all, people have been saying that like email is going to die for years. That was like part of Slack going public. That was like a key theme for them. But the reality is email hasn't gone anywhere, and it's probably not going anywhere for a while. Plus, you have everyone has email. So that inbox is kind of like what Jack and I say, it's like inbox real estate. Every day people check their email, and every day there's like a bunch of things at the top that are valuable. And newsletters get there directly. There's no middleman really. So unlike podcasting or video where you have a middleman like a Spotify or a YouTube, newsletters are direct. You get access to someone in an intimate place, their email, where they keep all their personal stuff, and you can do it very consistently. So newsletters functionally still make a lot of sense to answer that question, Colin.
You know how I mentioned that podcasting is the same thing as radio, but like better and on demand?
Yes.
There's a similar analogy with newsletters, which is they're newspapers, but they're better and they're on demand, and your fingers don't get all, you know, black and gray or whatever.
And like when you guys were starting it, did you feel like there needed to be like certain elements or certain images in there? Or like, how did you... Were there like, was there like a formula for like, oh, this is what we need to put in there to make sure eyes are on it?
Glad you asked, Con, because Jack and I are very formulaic about how we approach the content we put out. Basically, when you're doing a daily show or a daily product, you know, a newsletter or a podcast like Jack and I have done, it really is about the routine and consistency. And in order to consistently do something daily, it needs to be as efficient as possible. So as a result, Jack and I built out a bunch of formulas for how we do our content. Our daily podcast show, it follows a formula. There's a climax to every story, a takeaway, an intro, an outro, a user-generated segment, shout-outs at the end. There's a consistency to the formula, and we apply that formula every day because we found out what worked. Same with newsletters. We had a formula for that too. And what we often share is advice for other founders, entrepreneurs who want to start newsletters, is the formula should have some key elements in it. So one of them is, Jack and I always said, you want to begin with an opening hook, something to grab attention, because that first impression is key as to whether someone deletes you from the inbox or moves on or not. So you want to start with a hook. Then we always point out that most likely it's going to be read on mobile. So you do not want long paragraphs, long sentences. You want this to be mobile first, mobile friendly in how you write. And then we often say you want to have a fun treat at the end. Jack and I used to add a fact of the day at the end so that once you finish the newsletter, you knew you had something to look forward to, like a dessert. And we give the same advice today. You want to have something at the end that made going through the reading process worthwhile and exciting. Like Jack and I would say, we're all competing in the attention economy. Like, attention is what everyone has a limited amount of. And yet there are all these products that are trying to take attention. So it's like a market share of attention. And you want to get a part of that. And that means you have to be very thoughtful about the words, the sentences you use. A lot of times when people have come to us for advice on newsletters, it's often because they're writing so much, or they haven't edited it down, or they haven't thought about like a format that's consistent. And what people want is, they, if they're going to give you their attention in return, they typically want something that's efficient, clear, and expected, but then filled with little surprises throughout.
A little snack, if we will.
a little, or Jack, what would you say? A little razzle dazzle?
A little sprinkle dinkle.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So fast forwarding today, for everybody who's like, oh, they have a podcast, what is this? Walk us down of how T-Boy came about and what T-Boy is for those who aren't as familiar.
Well, to pick up where Jack and I left off when we did our backwards chronology history for you before. After Jack and I launched the newsletter company, Market Snacks, and then expanded into podcasting with Market Snacks, we sold that company to Robinhood, the stock trading app, where it was rebranded as Robinhood Snacks, where you may have heard our podcast, Snacks Daily. Jack and I spent 3 great, exciting years at Robinhood. And then after 3 years at Robinhood, we worked with the founders, who are a couple great guys, on a spinoff deal where Jack and I got to take the podcast that we built up at Robinhood, Snacks Daily, and turn it into our own independent company, fully run by Jack and me. And that podcast is the same podcast, same content, same style, same audience. We just rebranded it as The Best One Yet, also known as T-Boy.
And like, when you guys were coming about rebranding, so I know a lot of times like brands and stuff who are probably listening, they're like, oh, rebrand, that's so scary. Like, how do we make sure that people know that this is us still, and we keep the, like, let them know that it's just, nothing's changed. Like, did you guys feel like there were any like key elements that you had to do, or like post wise, or let people know that, hey, this is still us and everything, you're still getting the same thing, we're just changing the name, or nothing else is changing? But did you guys feel like that was stressful or scary when you were doing that?
It was, yeah. I mean, Nick and I kind of held hands and jumped into the water together. But no, it was very important that we clearly communicate to our audience what was happening. So we went dark on like, our last regular episode was a Thursday. And then on Friday, we had just a mysterious like, we're working on something, we'll talk to you next week. And then Monday, we relaunched as The Best One Yet. And it just came up in people's feeds. It's, yeah, you know, they'd already subscribed to the show, and suddenly the show had a new name and a new podcast artwork, both on our show and on social media. We very clearly announced what was going on. We said, we just clearly said, you know, after 3 years of being at Robinhood, we've decided to become entrepreneurs again. This show is going to continue, but not as Snacks Daily, as The Best One Yet. And we had a few more bullet points of very clear information. And then once we were done with all that, we're like, this is friggin' awesome.
We celebrated the win.
We get to keep doing this show. But as entrepreneurs, like, Nick and I had really found a dream come true. And that dream is just, you know, we can be those car talk guys. Like, we can host and run our own show for another 40 years. And that's what we wanted to do. So although the show was the same in so many ways, it was actually better because Nick and I were 100% controlling our own destiny again. And that freedom was incredible. And it lets us just be our 100% of our own selves even more.
And really the whole rebranding process was fun. We did that prior to the launch. Jack and I also invested a lot in the rebrand. We didn't just like toss a logo on.
It was months in the making.
Months in the making. We worked with a brand strategist to almost therapeutically figure out our identity. And even though we never changed the content, the brand looks totally different now. And it's because we realized more who we really were and what we were communicating. Our show is three daily business news stories that we think you got to know and you'll want to know and that you didn't even realize you should know. And that was what the show always has been. And yet by investing in the strategy behind that, it then led to an understanding of who our audience was, what our messaging was, what our product really was, what the feeling was, which then let us hand that over to a designer who created our logo. We handed that strategy deck then over to a couple rappers based in Texas who composed a rap jingle for our podcast. And we basically have used that brand strategy guide to guide all of our decisions. Like Jack and I use that guide when we're choosing stories, when we're making big product decisions, when we're making big strategic choices. And so investing in a rebrand really was a powerful change for us.
We decided that the word that we wanted to strive for with our show was brighter.
Yeah.
It was an amazing revelation when we realized that that was our like brand North Star, was to make our audience feel brighter. Because if you're running a business and writing a daily product, you're going to just face decisions all the time. Like, and you might feel decision fatigue. And how do you decide, especially if you have partners, how do you decide what to do during tough decisions? Well, our guiding force is, will this make our audience feel brighter? And brighter is such a great word because it's both a feeling of positivity, but it also means like smarter. And that's what we try to do with our show. And before we had that word and sort of that North Star that I keep referring to, we would just kind of go with our gut. But going with your gut is hard when you don't have words to describe what your gut wants. And so we basically just articulated our gut with a few key vocabulary words that Nick and I refer to when we're making tough decisions. And it's really helped us make decisions quicker and with more confidence.
No, I love that because that's so true because oftentimes I'll like listen to a story and I'll like repeat it back and they'll be like, oh, wow, you knew about that stock trade. And then I like sit back. I'm like, yeah, I'm kind of a finance connoisseur guy. It just came, that knowledge just, you know, came to me, you know, as I was on the subway. And then you just sit back and everybody's like, oh, wow, they know their stuff.
To those just listening, Nick, Colin was looking at his nails as he said, I'm a finance entrepreneur.
And to go back to your first question, Colin, about storytelling, like that is what Jack and I strive for with storytelling is if we can get something that you want to share to show off that you know the information, if you want to share that, then that means we've done our job of storytelling.
Yeah, I'm making it my new mission to, first of all, bring back like random slang from like the early 2000s. Like I'm bringing back awkward turtle. And then it's also like knowing like random facts. I'll be like, hey guys, did you actually know that FTX and blah, blah, blah did XYZ? And people are like, wait, what? And then just like step away and get like, you know, a smoothie. And just like walk away from it.
Always leave them wanting more.
Exactly.
But like going back to your guys' strategy about like the doing the show on a daily basis, like a lot of times like people are probably like, wait, how do you know that what you recorded like the day before is actually gonna not change an hour from then or when the show actually airs? Like, is there a process that you guys do by working on stuff to kind of make sure everything's caught up to exactly how it'll be by the time it'll air? Like, how does that formula work?
We turn on the microphones late in the afternoon and sometimes news will break or Elon will tweet and it requires that we update the story and we'll jump back onto the microphones, but it's a daily show.
Two funny observations Jack and I have had over a decade of covering business news. The first is that business news really does only happen during market hours between like 9:30 a.m. and 4 p.m. It is very rare that there's a breaking news story in business over a weekend or after 4 p.m. It's just, you wouldn't think that in this world. Political news happens all the time.
Yeah,
environmental news all the time. Business news really likes to keep its market hours. So that's kind of convenient for Jack and me. It's really rare that we have to do an update like Jack
said. It's very convenient, Nick. Companies issue press releases during those market hours that Nick mentioned.
And then the other funny thing Jack and I have noticed over time is that a lot of people say content is king. Jack and I like to also say that curation is queen. And Jack and I are not in the business breaking news industry. That's not where we compete. Where we compete is in the curation, is in coming up with a takeaway. So you may already know that something happened, for example, with Lululemon stock. But what Jack and I are going to do is we're going to find the interesting storyline and tell you about it the next day. So that's fine that you found out that the stock jumped on Monday, but you're probably willing to wait till Tuesday to get the really interesting story about it. And that's what Jack and I have found, is that there's an audience there that is excited and okay to wait a day, but for a more compelling, interesting, differentiated story that's brighter at the end of the day.
And you saying that made me think of being like, you guys come back like on Tuesday and be like, actually, everybody, Lululemon has rediscovered a new type of cargo pants that are very popular. Yeah. And then it's like, dang, now I need to go to Lululemon and get new cargo pants. I didn't know this Monday. Yeah.
Totally. It's really funny to see how it's so true, Colin. Like when Jack and I are covering companies, and you know, it goes for companies that are consumer relevant, like you just brought up with Lululemon, but also like the debt ceiling. We covered the debt ceiling today. And you know, what Jack and I are always trying to do is find like an interesting, relevant takeaway that you wouldn't expect that would even make the debt ceiling as exciting as that Lululemon story.
And I feel like that's the stuff that's key. It's like people like you said, they want to know, it's like, okay, if I turn this on or whatever, like I'm going to be updated on the debt ceiling or all the types of business news stuff, but I'm also going to get a fun little tidbit that might help me down the road or be a nice known fact. And I feel like that's also, like you said, fighting for attention. That's what's going to make people also want to come back to. They're like, okay, I'm not just getting the basics that I could get anywhere else. Like I'm getting X, Y, and Z more.
Yeah, news is so marginal. Like Nick and I refer to them as drip stories.
Mm-hmm.
There's some stories where it's just like drip, a little bit more news, drip, a little bit more news on the same topic, drip, a little bit tiny more news on the same topic. And some newsletters and podcasts cover each of those little marginal updates. And then suddenly every day's issue had the same general news subject and rehashed the same context to prepare you for that marginal news. And Nick and I like to collect a few drips before we decide to cover them all at once. You're not going
to
get the same story 2 days in a row on our show. We just don't think that's fun. And there's a way to like both stay informed on the important things, but also feel fresh news every day that keeps you curious and interested.
And like you saying that now, I'm like, dang, I need a drip coffee and I need like that's all I can think of. It's like, I need a drip coffee after this.
Anything we can do to kind of stimulate something for you, Colin.
And for my last question, like just out of curiosity, what do you all think the future of podcasting is going? Like we're seeing so many things, like more people are now focusing on the video aspect and I'm now seeing on some where they have the interactive Q&As. Is there a trend that you all are seeing in the audio space that you think is going to carry on soon?
Yes, we do. Mm-hmm. That trend is podcasting as your full hustle and podcasting as a career. We are all in the attention economy. And Nick and I think to put on a great show and to really thrive in podcasting, you really have to give it your all. Nick and I do that. And we're thrilled that podcasting is our number one product. And we really believe in the future of podcasting. Radio goes back 100 years. We think audio will go forward 100 years, just in a more convenient format. And podcasting has gone through a few tumultuous years with crazy investments from some of the tech platforms and huge free agent signings of celebrities to launch their own shows. But we think it's really those who give their all into a podcast and make it their primary product. That's where you're going to put on an amazing show that your audience consistently listens to.
I love everything Jack just said.
That's
exactly it. No, Jack nailed the takeaway, stuck the landing on that. And we do firmly believe it in everything Jack just said.
Just to follow up on that, like for those who are listening who are like, oh, that's cool. Nick and Jack love that you guys got a show, but me and my llama are really funny in Kansas, and I think we would be good at podcasting, but we don't know where to start. Like, what advice do you have for those who are like, I want to do a podcast for llama news, but I don't know where to start?
Well, the great thing about podcasting is the starting point is easy. The startup costs are easy. The hard part are the scaling costs and consistency in doing it over time. So right. We would always, Jack and I always say, start the podcast. You totally should. You should sandbox it, play around with it, figure out what content works, send it to people, see what works and resonates. You may have to pivot the content, but then come up with a formula. So we always say it's actually really simple. You don't need very much equipment. You got a recorder, a microphone, a headset. You're looking at a few $100, and you can either learn to do the editing yourself, do it unedited, or hire a freelancer to edit your pod for maybe like $50 an episode. And we say, just start, do it. And then once you're kind of getting feedback, if you do want to do it, like Jack just said, like as a career, then you can really start focusing on the details. You focus on what is my hook in the beginning? What's my fun dessert at the end? What's the topic I'm doing? How am I going to be consistent? Am I going to be daily or weekly? I don't want to be inconsistent. It's a habit-driven medium. I got to be, choose one, weekly, daily, monthly. So are you interview format? Are you discussion format? So once you kind of get the equipment, once you then start testing and getting comfortable with a microphone and what that's like, then you can really start thinking strategically about what are we saying and why every word matters.
No, that's so true. And I feel like a lot of times whenever people are starting one, they're like, oh, like, I want to get to 200,000 listeners immediately. And it's like, I always tell people, I'm like, you can't just start this and expect a huge fan base like overnight. Like you have to actually, like you said, be passionate about it and put in that work. Because if you're just doing it for followers or whatever, you're going to get burnt out quickly. Honestly, with anything, you can't do it for whatever. You have to truly be passionate about it because that's what's going to get you through those like nights or days where you're having to go back and re-edit it or like something falls through and you have to like do it again.
Yes. Start with a microphone and start just by talking about something you love doing. I'm fortunate, and Jack's fortunate, that we get to have a discussion on the topics we happen to love with a person we happen to love, a best friend who's right there on the other side of the mic we're just having fun with. And we get to do it every day. I mean, it's a dream job, like Jack said. And that's like what keeps us going. We don't even have to second guess it. We can wake up every morning and be excited for what we're going to do every day. And it's funny that it happens to be with a microphone, which we never would have expected.
I love everything Nick just said.
But Nick and Jack, thank you guys so much for being here today. This was so good. Honestly, could talk for hours.
That was really fun, Colin. And we're definitely down to come back and talk for hours again. Thanks so much for having us.
Thank you so much, Colin.
Yetis, thank you for enjoying today's bonus pod.
We've got a link in our episode description to the Young Influentials landing page if you want to learn more about Colin's show.
In the meantime, Jack and I, we're shucking one more bucket of crabs while we're on vacation.
We are cracking oysters and tossing crabs over here,
Jack,
aren't we, Nick?
Put another shrimp on the barbie.
Yetis, our regular programming returns after Labor Day on Tuesday, September 5th.
That episode, it's going to be the best one yet.
Nick and I, we'll see you there.
Can't wait.
If you like The Best One Yet, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
And before you go, tell us a little bit about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
We want to get to know you.